Hey, Changemakers, Stacey here from The Advisor. If today's insights ignite you, tap onto follow, smash like, and share your episode so even more people can transform alongside you. Let's thrive together. If you're a high performer professional who feels squeezed of the 24/7 global pressure, today's episode is for you. We're going to gain by learn and learn by listening to the engineer turned spiritual strategist, Deepak Pashara, author of Amazon bestseller Life, the Spiritual Essence, an Engineer's Insights into the Integrated Nature of Divinity. In part one of the book, Deepak distills more than a decade of research across 38 countries into six trigger points that help tier one leaders become what he calls spiritual billionaires, people who have inner wealth compounds faster than any other stock portfolio. We're going to unpack each trigger and we're going to show you how to apply them now, today, as you listen, and you're going to get a lot of knowledgeable insight that you never realized could be so beneficial in your own personal lives. Deepak, when did you first realize that the analytical mindset that succeeds in boardrooms could also be decoded into spiritual growth? And how did you feel compelled to package that discovery for the busiest professionals on the planet?
So first of all, namaste, Ms. Stacey. Namaste, namaste, namaste to all our friends and listeners out there. It's a pleasure to be on the show. So my journey, just to my background is I'm an engineer MBA. I worked on building power plants across the globe, reinforced by teams, working with cross-functional teams in over 30 countries. This was very it was very integrated work. 12, 14, 16-hour days were routine. Working on weekends was routine. And then there were three incidents within a 6-month period commencing end of 2008, whereby and substantively I think the defining moment was when I ran into His Holiness the Dalai Lama of Tibet on a flight to Tokyo. And then with a couple of ancillary things that occurred, I commenced this deep journey of research because I sensed that there was a lot of meaning, and at the same time, I needed to find a stress relief management system, and that's what just kickstarted. It was a very stumbling journey, but it just began to grow and grow and grow. And I tell you, Ms. Stacey, when you commence an effort out of purity of mind, it's amazing just how many people show up to help. And I ended up working with thought leaders, philosophers, spiritualists, clergy. Over 100 thought leaders emerged to help. And ultimately, it grew into this book called Life, the Spiritual Essence. And here we are.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, give us a 60-second elevated pitch on the six trigger points. Like, what are they and how do they work together as a system?
Okay, very good. So, just to recap, ma'am, last time around we had discussed the overall book, Life, the Spiritual Essence, in summary fashion. And again, this is the book is structured for the tier one global professional to strive to be the absolute best in what they can be in all of their activities, both professional and personal. So today we are here to discuss part one, or the holistic section of this five-part book, Life, the Spiritual Essence. And this holistic section is called the six trigger points. And what I mean by that is that it is a one-page, energetic, action-oriented chart to monitor yourself daily as you iteratively propel yourself into excellence. And the key word, Ms. Stacey, is daily monitoring. Because you see, what happens is to achieve extraordinarily in life, you have to have tremendous self-esteem. But to get to that position, you first of all have to understand who you are and where you are, where you stand in the larger scheme of things. So, as an example, we interact daily with people, and just like you and I having a conversation just now. Now, myself being myself, I think that you are dealing with the perfect me. Whereas, in fact, what you're dealing with is the real me. And the delta is the fall of the ego. And that's what the six trigger points does. It is fundamentally 25 action-oriented points summarized into one page, segregated into six quadrants of the mind, which is purely my own invention as I was developing. And
Yes.
it took it, this took some 7 years to develop, 7 years to and 7 years to tweak. And I'll tell you the backstory in a minute. You know what you know the genesis of the document. But what never ceases to amaze me is that it's not only the individual points that you have to work through and check yourself off. And it takes me 5 minutes every morning, you know, given the practice. But it is
Yeah.
also a combination of these 25 triggers. And to be perfectly honest, Ms. Stacey, there's probably more like 50 sub, you know, a total of 50 points all embedded within the 25
Yes.
boxes. But it's like a subliminal box of tools that I can use to weave my way through with excellence and integrity in any given situation. And that's how this six trigger points. Now, let me tell you the genesis. So what happened was back in 2008, I had picked up a key scripture of Hinduism called the Gita or the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
And it took me 5 years to read this book. So I went at less than one page a day with a lot of derivative studies on the side. And I realized that this was really a way of life. And it's basically the story of a tier one Hindu god called Lord Krishna, who gives a discourse to one of the great warriors, Arjuna, to overcome his delusions. But ultimately, it all boils down to the moral struggles that we face on a daily basis. You know, it's the grounding from which we launch pad out. So I still remember this. I was some 2 years and 8 months into this read, and I'm on a British Airways flight coming back from Heathrow to JFK.
Yes.
And I tell you, Miss Stacy, it hit me like a ton of bricks that the information was so brilliant. How was I going to capture this? Now, what happens is, you know, you see millions of articles, you know, on social media, for example, that come out, well, do this or do that. You get little blurbs. But the question is, how do you put it, you know, into a package that you can understand? And I took out a clean sheet of paper and I started to draw circles. And I recall, I listed about, I think it was somewhere between 10 to 12 points of, you know, that I wanted to just list as I thought were great activities. Now,
Yes.
once I finished the book, which took 5 years, I then expanded, and ultimately, over the 14-year period, I went through some 15 religions, you know, very deep study working with clergy and leaders. You know, I met over 100 thought leaders. You know, they gave me lessons on leadership, worked with clergy, you know, delved into science and spirituality, metaphysics, philosophies, all. And every time I would come through something, I would immediately write it down. So, for example, a Swami told me, he said, Deepak, for example, try and make every act of yours an inner meditation for yourself. And I thought about that. I said, you know, how powerful that is. So I quickly, you know, jotted it down and I inserted it into one of the triggers. And then I would again continue to test it and test it and test it. And all of a sudden, you know, it became this, the six trigger points became this breathing, energetic mechanism, you know, that would, you know, weave. And it, to date, it has never ceased to amaze me after 14 years of how it helps me, you know, not only to understand who I am, where I'm going, but also to be able to analyze what I did the previous day and then work my way through any faults that I came up with. And that's how this came together.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. Oh my gosh. Now, I wanted to ask you, how are fear, desire, and anger interrelated in our neuro-emotional wiring?
So that's an excellent question. So, and we'll go through the six triggers in a minute. When you so fear, desire, and anger. So when for example we desire something, with it comes a fear of losing it, and with fear comes consequent anger,
Yeah.
and that's the interrelationship of these three. And I'll give you a tip because I just worked through it. You see, what you have to do is, if you have, let's say, if you desire something, but you want to minimize its power, don't look at it, look through it. And what you're really doing is you have to take away its power. For example, the strength of a boxer comes from his legs, and that's how he's able to. Or, for example, in mixed martial arts, if you see Georges St-Pierre, GSP, the French MMA star, when he does a Superman punch, but he lifts off his legs. But if you simply just lift the person up and say, well, now try punching, what you've done is you've minimized its power. And that's how you and this is where the trigger points can help you to come up with your to develop strategies as you examine yourself on how to overcome it. Now, I'll tell you one very interesting point. You see, most people, if they, for example, if you love food or you love drink and you overeat and stuff, they'll say, oh, I hate it, right? No, you love it. Admit it to yourself. Start from there. You don't like the after effects of it, but you love it. Now, it's okay to have that with you the rest of your life, but you put it into suspended animation and it just sits there. You control it, it does not control you. And that's how it works.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. Now, you describe confusion, cosmetic delusion as a governing force. How do we spot it in the corporate world?
Oh, that's a, I think that's a conversation all onto itself. But basically, let me relate it back to my own personal experiences. So, I led power initiatives in different parts of the globe, and as a consequence, it's really interesting, man, because when you're working with such diverse expertise, one moment you're talking to lawyers, the next moment you're talking to bankers, and the next moment you're talking to R&D engineers, right? And but you have to make all of that and your teams into a very successful, and develop strategies going forward. So take, for example, commercial negotiations, because I had to deal in multi-million dollar negotiations. Some of these, you had to develop the strategies for over a period of 6 to 9 months before you walked into the room. And you're dealing with a lot of high-end people sitting across the table from you. And again, it was the six trigger points that, because not only could I analyze myself, I could analyze the person as he walked in. Maybe somebody just had a bad day, right? And they're not in the mood to settle anything. And very quickly through the six triggers, and once we go through that, you'll begin to understand how it works because it looks at a cross-sectional analysis, both personal and how you deal in your professional life. And so I'd be able to very quickly analyze the person. Some people develop a lot, they exhibit a lot of arrogance. That you have to deal with complacence, you with and compassion, because when you begin to understand how the human mind works and the struggles that they go through, what you do is you still take arrogance or whatever they're doing and try and build it into a win-win situation. And you can do that at a later point. You do it through reason, through integrity. You show that you are full of energy. You want to make it a win-win. That's a key point. And when you start to do that, I think it sparks something within the human condition, no matter whatever they are, because they also have their corporate objectives to overcome. So the short answer is that you have to, it's wonderful when you meet nice people, but it's the counterbalance is you're going to meet people who are, who will display arrogance. And sometimes they do it just for show, just to try and force you into a negotiating position. So you don't really know. But the point is that ultimately, it becomes the same, but that's how you deal with them.
Wow, that's powerful. That's very smart too. Now, if we go back to trigger point one, can you explain what trigger one point
Yes.
is, how we apply it?
Yes. So let me just first list the six trigger points. And for people who cannot, I think you mentioned that there may be a link that they can see later, but it's okay if you cannot, because this is a, I'll be able to explain it. So the six triggers are, the first one is what you call rise above the trades. This is all about understanding our fundamental energies, and I'll start talking about that in a minute. The
Yes.
next one is what you call work into worship. How do you focus to win? and be the best at what you're going to do. The third one is how you develop an inner silence or a dynamic quietude, in all situations. The fourth one is where you call an interconnectedness of life. This is where you begin to understand that there is a oneness to things, through the linkage of energy. And then as you begin to excel through triggers one through four, you now begin to operate out of the higher echelons. And we'll talk about what I call the eye of wisdom, leading you into progressive fearlessness. So
Yes.
those are the six triggers. Now, and again, this is thousands of pages of research, madam, that have been compressed into some 25 pages, which is part one of this five-part book. Now,
Right.
so the this the what we call rise above the trades is all about understanding that every human being possesses three basic qualities or energies called purity, passion, and dullness. And the question is, at any given moment in time, what is your strategy to be able to take your bank of passion, the what you call the gas pedal, and point it towards purity at any given moment? That's the fundamental definition of it. Now, let's pick a negative topic. So let's say a negative trait is anger, right? And I'm going to show you how the six triggers work in tandem. So the first box, as we said, you've recognized anger. It is simply a derivative of your passion pointing towards dullness. Now, in trigger six, which is progressive fearlessness, there's one sub-trigger which says, always maintain extraordinary situational awareness. And then in trigger two, which is work into worship, it says, delay your reactions. So now if you combine these sub-points, right? You understand you're angry. You're extraordinarily aware that you're angry in situations. It's not that you're out there venting by yourself. You're actually within a certain situation. You may be sitting in a corporate meeting. You could be at a power plant site. Where in the it when time is money. Profit equals cash, and you really have to. And you'll come across all types of people as you're doing it. Now, additive to these three, a Swami taught me a very cool technique. He said that when he gets angry, he takes his anger and he puts it into a balloon and he watches it fly away. And he says 30 seconds later, he's grinning like a Cheshire cat. Now think about how he made that work. It's really interesting. So, and all the while, I'm like a sponge. I'm lapping up all this information. And that's how it works. That's how these three triggers work. But the basic point, Miss Stacy, is you're always trying to point towards purity. And how do you do that? And that's where you have to develop a strategy for yourself.
I like that. Now, so the first one is you focus towards purity and you focus on passion. And so the next trigger point, can you explain what trigger point two is and how we apply that to our lives?
Yes. So the next one, and just bear with me while I look at it. So the next one is what we call work into worship. Okay, and so let's just take an office scenario, right? And I used to love walking through offices just to see the myriad types of people that you're dealing with. And I came across four fundamental types. There may be more, there may be less, but I found four, which I found very interesting. So you'll come across these people that are very systematized. They're very good in processes, and they just know how to excel in that kind of work. The next type you'll find are all action. Why are we not doing it now? Come on, Deepak, let's get on this thing. You're on a conference call with 30 people. No, action now, action this day. The third type you'll find are the quiet ones. They're reticent. They are discriminative in thought. They form an opinion after a lot of thought and introspection. And then the fourth one is where you get that rare combination, of all three types. It's what you call the warrior monk, and you'll see examples, like for example, on the tennis court, you see Roger Federer. You look at his focus in action, right? He can, or and it ranges, into the flamenco dancers of Spain. Like if you ever go to Madrid, go to a place called Cardamomo. or go to Corral de la Morea and just see the concentration of these dancers and how they excel within a concerted space. You know, these are what you call the warrior monks. Now switch that into formal religious or spiritual practices, and you'll find four equivalent types. You'll see the ones that are devotional. You know, they believe in a lot of chanting, a lot of mantras. Then you find those that are what they call action-oriented or karma yoga, right? Where, you know, they're very focused. The third type are the intellectuals, right? And then the last ones are what you call a Raja Yoga or a combination of all three. And you'll see derivative yogas like in South India, you know, BK Iyengar and Ashtanga Yoga and, you know, those type of practices. But you know, those are not only mental, but they're tremendously physical too. But the point is that the way work into worship works is that you are always working in the moment without ego, without past fears or future attachments. And this is what you call where holistic preparation meets opportunity. And I'm stressing the word holistic because there are so many forms of success. But if you can do that, what happens is you are focused in the moment, but you're working with all your cylinders firing at the same time. And if you can do that, you don't have to worry about the result because it will come. And that's how work into worship works.
I love that. Now, tell us a little about trigger point number three.
So trigger three is just bear with me, Matt. So this is what we call dynamic quietude. And what this is you take your tremendous wisdom acquired and you apply it appropriately. It's an inner silence that comes into play that makes you operate in the most efficient manner. So the simplest of examples is you minimize your body motions. For example, like 15 years back, I was very jittery as a person, always shaking limbs, you know, doing this, doing that. And then it ranges all the way. Like if you look at special forces and you look at the training around the world, you see how they are totally focused in action. You know, they are trained. What they do is they assimilate them, bring them down to a common platform and then build them back up. But they train them to think devoid of thought and to operate in the most efficient manner. And ultimately, ma'am, you know, divinity is all about transcending the mind. You know, in a sense, you're also rising above all three traits because these this represents your mind. And ultimately, as part of your transcendence, you ultimately transcend the mind as you begin to reach into your higher self. And that's dynamic quietude.
Oh, wow. I like that. That sounds very powerful.
So try and imagine, Stacey, if you can maintain this inner silence, you know, and really what you're doing is you're becoming more and more detached. You know, you're becoming the witness. You can overview situations. You can, you know, you take information coming in like a sponge from people, and then, you know, you let it churn, you know, and then you can take a decision. And again, any decision you take in one situation may not be the proper decision in another. You know, that's what they call the larger principle of what they call life purpose.
Wow. Now, trigger four, the cosmic power within. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So, trigger four, and you know, this entire book is about the examination of how energy interconnects all aspects of our existence
Yes.
under the corporate umbrella of divinity. And the more I researched, the more I found that energy interconnects everything.
Yes.
Okay, and with that comes the realization that we are all interconnected in some shape or form. You know, you mentioned, for example, you come across a very corporate, a very arrogant person. How do you deal with them?
Yeah.
The issue is, it is very hard, almost impossible, to develop enmity for someone who you see as part of yourself.
Yes.
Think about that thought, Mr. Stacey, how powerful that is, right? And what happens is that within your professional life, as you go along, you now begin to cheer for the success of others as opposed to being jealous.
Yes.
Think about that. And that is just a tremendous, you know, it's just a tremendous thought. And now, if you can think about this every morning, See how
Yeah.
powerful it is, because you're rewiring your brain, all the time. And then the other thing about the cosmic power is to get into synchronicity with the rhythms of nature. So what I mean by that is, let's just take the before and the after. So this is before I commenced my book journey. So I'd be, as I mentioned, 12, 14, 16 hours was normal, right? You just have to when you're working interactively with teams in over 30 countries. So I'd
Yes.
commence my day around 7:30, 8 o'clock, right? Go at it all day. And sometimes someone calls at midnight, right? And now you can't sleep, you get up the next morning, you're groggy, you're irritable, all of the above, right? Now, what
Yes.
happened was that as I began to do this research, I found that I was involuntarily beginning to clean up my act. And all of
Yeah.
a sudden, I switched from a 12 to, or an 8 o'clock in the morning to midnight into a 4 o'clock routine. Now let's look at the unset cosmic laws, right? So the scriptures tell us that between the time of 4 and 6 in the morning is the time of the creator. This is when you will see a prevalence of ether. You see such divinity in the air, right? And then after that, you get into the work day, right? And that's the passion element, where you do your best, and then there's a time to rest. So
Yes.
try and imagine, Miss Stacy, that now you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? You've planned your entire day out. You've made some calls to, engineers or lawyers across the globe, right? You're out at 5 o'clock with the birds. There's a party going on out there. You can smell the just the purity in the air, with the leaves and the birds, and then you rush back in and get your exercise done. Can you imagine by 8 o'clock in the morning how much you have achieved? And then, of course, my wife shows up and she gives me this look and says, "What are you so chirpy about?" Well, guess here's why I'm so chirpy, right? But you've commenced your day in synchronicity with the rhythms of nature.
Yes.
And once you can do that, it begins to clean up your act. You find you become very holistic in your practices as you go along.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, with Trigger 5 and 6, the eye wisdom and the progressive fearlessness, can you tell us a little about that and how we could apply that to our lives to benefit ourselves?
Yes. So let me take my own example. Now, as I was beginning to get better and better in triggers 1 to 4. And I think the last two triggers were developed within at the tail end of the research. I began
Yeah.
to find that I was changing as a person. For example, from being very upset, very angry, for the most part, I was just cheery. I was just laughing. I mean, do you know what it's like, Miss Stacy, when you get up at 4 in the morning and you're looking up and you're grinning and you're smiling, and you don't know why you're smiling, but that's the universe telling you that you're doing something right. So
Right.
I found I was becoming very cheerful. I began to display a lot of humility. You should have a discussion with my wife on that one, whether she thinks I'm humble or not, but that's a totally separate subject. But you're gracious with people, you're listening to people, you're becoming, people told me I've become very dynamic as a person. And what that does is, you become detached, you're able to oversee situations, you're also able to go down into the detail as necessary because you have to listen, and if you once you develop that ability to listen, you're going to achieve in life. And what that then led me, the eye of wisdom eventually led me into what you call progressive fearlessness. And what I mean by that is I began to understand my personal boundaries of fear. And
Yeah.
I also came to realize more and more just how transitory our fears really are. And when you stand up to it, when you face your fears every day, do I do this every single day, you will find that it will diminish. Now, there are exceptions to the rule where it is very difficult. For example, if someone has a debilitating disease, it is very hard to, be able to do tremendous spiritual practice. It takes a lot of strategy and a lot of commitment, to be able to do that. But not everyone can do it. Like when I visited Auschwitz, concentration camp, and I'm walking through the camps, and you just see everything that had unfolded there, and it was a basic question: how do people spend time? What do they do, for spiritual practices? It's extraordinarily difficult. And yet there were such leaders that shone out of in the midst of this sadness. So that's how box five and six come together as you begin to excel yourself.
That's a big topic, facing your fears. A lot of people struggle with facing your fears. How, what's your advice to others when people, have a they struggle with facing their fears? What would you say to them the best things to do? Maybe give them a few tips.
Take it head on and understand that fear really comes out of ignorance. And you're really operating at a more shallow level within your being. For example, they say that it's the subtle, the subtle body really constitutes its multiple layers. They talk about mind, intellect, the soul, but then beyond that are these higher layers. This is what you call the causal layer, and then ultimately, and now you're getting very close to your pure self, out of which you operate, because each one of us possesses tremendous divinity, or we represent the essence of divinity again through the process of interconnectedness, which are taken directly, from our divine creation laws. So once you begin to understand that, you are simply an ego trying to get through this layer of confusion or cosmic delusion, or in Hinduism they call it Maya, but it has multiple connotations in the other religions. So understand the power that is within your being. And once you start from there, and then the first thing you have to do is you have to mentally cleanse yourself. And that's what the six triggers is about. It's about mental house cleaning on a daily basis. And then you get into the progressive layers of concentration, meditation, and then you begin, you get then get to the point which our sages have figured out on how to transcend the material planes and get up into the subtle, subtler, and then ultimately into the causal. And then you hear stories about how sometimes they come back at will to help you. These are what you call the guides, the master guides, and stuff. And I'll tell you a story about that later. It was a very, I had some very interesting experiences as an engineer, but we'll talk about that in the in the next session. So there's so much hope for you. And your story is important. I tell you, I knew this guy, this Italian guy called Frank Rutigliano, right? And he had polio, and he could, but he had arms, like I used to call him Meatloaf, because he was in the gym every day. He was working out. And Miss Stacy, I tell you, with such a disease, I mean, he was the gentlest person. What, I never saw him get upset. In all the time that I knew him, I mean, just look at the thought process. I don't think he went through the six trigger points, but look at the inherent divinity that came out of him.
Now, if you could put one line from your book on every smartphone or, lock screen, what would it be and why?
So, given my research, boy, I tell you really ask good questions, but given all my research, if you have a humility and you couple that with a gratefulness for what you have, and you combine that with extraordinary situational awareness, the universe opens up very interesting corridors of knowledge. And just these messages, these are those magnetic moments of knowledge that are in, they're on and around us all the time. It may come to you through watching a television program or something that a friend said to you. Sometimes we make contracts with people before we come down, and they actually, it's designed that they'll come and tell you something at just the right time to help you spark up into the next level. But that's the one thing I would tell everybody. Trust
I
yourself.
love it. Yes, trust yourself. That is excellent advice. Now, what's the next frontier in your research? Like, what can listeners expect in your next part two, where you're headed?
So, you mean the what are the other parts of the book, or where am I personally headed?
Right now, what are you planning? You're working on the book right now. What's the next step? What are you planning to do?
So that's an excellent question. So, as I'm progressively coming out, because as an engineer, it took me a lot to come out. Miss Tracy, you dragged me out, I gotta tell you. Kudos to you. I came out kicking and screaming, right? But
Oh, yeah.
I've committed my life to helping other people, and I have no interest in any material gain. So I am purely doing everything, just to, just to help others by either way of the book proceeds or, through charities, and, do some public speaking. I personally am at the point where I've come to understand pretty much, well, not pretty much, but substantively, a lot of I have a lot of intellectual knowledge, and on a more quieter tone, I'll tell you, sometimes it gets some meditative flashes. But the point is, that I find the journey of these sages that I've met, and I've met people from all philosophies and religions and clergy, and it is thrilling just what level that they are operating out of. And that's my goal. It's the meditative journey that I'm now continuing my research into, even though I know a lot of it intellectually, but now I have to dive down into much, much more deeper detail and see where it goes. But that's the pathway that I've got.
Wow. Now, what where can people find your book?
So Life to Spiritual Essence is on it's on Amazon, it's on Kobo, it's on all the multiple platforms. Interestingly, I have a doppelganger in the UK, and he's also Deepak Parashar. He's also the same birth sign, and I met him. It's like a mirror image. He also wrote a book on technical a technical book just like I did.
Oh,
In
really?
fact, when I put Life to Spiritual Essence out, he sent me a picture. It was me above and him below with his book, and it's one of those things about the interconnectedness of life, Miss Stacy, because it was like looking into a mirror image, the thought process, and we can talk about that next time. But yeah, it's basically on all these platforms.
Wow. Now, if we had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on a couple important factors, what are some things you want the listeners to walk away with that you feel are important?
I would, the six triggers. Despite all the levity, and the laughter and the thing, but if you really want to progress, this is very serious work. You really want to have to do it. Most people, I've seen a lot of people who take a scenic route. Oh, I can do it, but they never actually get around to doing it. And that's why, the scriptures say that very few actually get into the process of realization. So start small. I would, if I had to pick out of the six triggers, I would say, first of all, always maintain your inner child. Never let that go. Let it grow. Look at the innocence of children, the beauty and how they laugh. Learn to laugh like them. Two is have a quick reaction strategy for anger, for dispelling anger, because anger is a negative emotion, right? And everybody feels it. Everybody, as I mentioned last time, try going a whole day without getting angry for 1 second. It's very difficult. So have a quick reaction strategy, like for example, what the Swami taught me. The third is exercise every day to the extent you can. Some people may have a condition, others may not. Make it unobtrusive in your life. So, for example, if you have to climb three stairs a day, just do that, and that'll keep you going. And fourth, very important, if you are confused about something, shout for help, because that alone, Miss Stacy, will keep you very humble.
Oh, definitely. 100%. 100%. Now, what are some of the services that you provide, and where can people find you?
So I'm on all the multiple platforms: Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, X, Threads, but I've also, my email is the name of the book, Life, the Spiritual Essence at gmail.com. That's the best way to reach me, or they can get me on LinkedIn through a quick post, and I'm readily available to help anyone I can.
I love it. I love it. And before we go, for everybody that's listened to all these trigger points and they've listened to all your wisdom today, if they wanted to begin today, if they wanted to start improving their life, for step one, what would you tell them to do today to begin their journey of improving their overall mindset and wellness overall?
So the first thing I would do is, again, you have to understand that, and I'm speaking about myself, that you have to understand that the ego represents the deluded soul. Start from there, because now you're beginning to take responsibility. for yourself. Once you begin, as I said, again, it's the real me versus the perfect me, right? Everybody, we think that everyone sees the perfect me. By the way, you can, I always tell my wife that she gets the perfect me every day. That's another side discussion by itself. But you have to start understanding that you are a deluded soul, right? And I don't mean this in a negative way. It just means assess who you are. Take a couple of days off, introspect, sit down, write a couple of pages on who you think you are. Then begin a concerted journey where, you have a mechanism. You can come up with your own six trigger points, right?
Yes.
Because the thing, Stacey, is that there are some days that you're going to excel in all of this, in a lot of the trigger points. And then there are
Yes.
some days that you're just not going to have a good day. And that's where the triggers help you to minimize your
Yes.
excesses. That's the key, right? So you're always within a certain operating parameter. You learn how to control anger. You learn to be nice to people. You delay your reactions, right? Work out every day. But this is how you begin the journey of introspection. And once
Yes.
you do that, just maintain that gratefulness and the humility, and you will start to see your life, do what we, in engineering terms, what we call a step change. Now, a step change is what we call 0 to 1, but really what you're doing is a series of interconnected successes that suddenly you see a jump in your in your level of thinking.
Yes. I love that. I love that. That's amazing. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. I thank you so much for coming on today. I think it's so important that people start to look at themselves more honestly and start to, I think applying your trigger points can be such a powerful tool for changing people's lives. And if they take the time to really, overlook and analyze themselves and start to apply the triggers that you just mentioned, it could be a start to a new journey in their life where they come to realizations about themselves that they never even realized existed and bring them to a higher spiritual level, which could also be very powerful because it makes us see life in a whole different retrospect. And we're able to accomplish more, be more, and it also brings a lot of joy and happiness into our lives when we go into a more spiritual realm and we listen to our inner selves, we listen to the spiritual world, we apply what great leaders have used for centuries. And we really analyze from all different aspects. And I love that when you did the research, you didn't talk to one leader. You talked to many leaders from all different religions, all different thought processes, and you combine them all together to come with one analyzation from everything that you learn. Because there's so many people, so many leaders out there that come from many different religions, many different thoughts, many different cultures, and they all have a great way of approaching life, and by combining them all together, you were able to come out with a powerful, guidance for people to follow to improve their lives tremendously. So I commend you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. And I'll make one last point. You mentioned speaking with leaders and speaking with, now, if you can find a mentor or a leader or a guru, because like in tennis or martial arts, they make those insignificant moves to
Yes.
propel you into excellence. Try and find a mentor or a guru that ultimately lead you into yourself, not to them.
Yes.
And
Yes.
you really have to look out for that. And if you can do it, oh, you're cooking.
I love that. I love that. Oh my God, this has been amazing, Deepak. I thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I'm reading your book right now, and I love it. I think it's an amazing book. And I look forward to, finishing the book soon. But it's truly amazing, and it's truly very inspirational. And the guidance and the information you provide is outstanding. So thank you so much for everything you do. And thank you for taking the time to do all that research to write the book.
Yeah, namaste. I'm truly humbled and honored. Thank you so much, Ms. Stacy. And thank one big namaste to all our friends out there. Keep going. Have fun.
Yes, 100%, 100%. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being on the show today.